The lesson this morning from the Word brings to mind 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age are come. The Old Testament is a mural that is painted by God to help us to understand His plans and His purposes for His people. The Bible is written to believers. The Bible is written to those who are saved. The plan of salvation is there, but the majority of the Bible is written to help us to live in a way that is pleasing to God. God wants us to please Him. God expects us to please Him. And He will reward those who will, and He will reward those who won't. I guess you could put it that way. Those who are obedient to Him and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, well, He'll well done, thou good and faithful servant. And those who do not and will not be obedient will not hear well done, but to take the unprofitable servant and remove him. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2 beginning, I want to read down through verse 5. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. Beginning with Abraham, God is opening up a concept of inheritance. Inheritance is a family matter. Inheritance has to do with the seed of the parents. And in this case, Abraham's seed. And Abraham said, Lord, I don't have any kids right now. One born in my house is my heir, and Eliezer was born in my house, born in Damascus. And the Lord said, No, this is not the way it's going to work. And so inheritance is being presented as something significant for you and for me. I just counted the number of times the word inheritance is found in the Old Testament. It's found 221 times. That's significant. And in the New Testament, it's found 18 times, but there are many other times where the word is used, I think there's 9 times for the word inherit. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 17, it says, And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit life for the age? This is the story of the young rich ruler. Many people think that he is asking how to be saved. But he's not asking how to be saved. He is asking about how I can have an inheritance in the heavenlies. He already knew that he would have an inheritance where? In Israel, in the land of Israel. Why did he know that? Well, he knew the law. The Lord told him, keep the law. And he said, Master, I've done that from my youth up. The young rich ruler knew the law, and he knew that he would have an inheritance in the land. Why? Because he knew the Old Testament, he knew that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he knew he would be in that land. That one day that God would raise him and his heritage out of their graves and bring them into the land. What the young rich ruler was asking was, how can I have a better inheritance? A better inheritance. What kind of better inheritance? A heavenly inheritance. I know that I'm going to have an earthly inheritance, but I know I can get a better one. And how do I get it? That's what the young rich ruler was asking. And Jesus Christ told him, you got to live by faith. Not only do you have to be obedient to my commandments, but you've got to trust me. That's what God was saying to Abraham when he said no to Eliezer. Your plan is not a good plan, Abraham. Trust me. Trust me. And so, in the life of Abraham, and God talking to him about his inheritance, here in chapter 15, he is talking about his seed being as the stars in the heavens. And we will see that as we go along here. In verse 1 of chapter 15, God tells Abraham to trust me. I am thy exceeding great reward, and you have no fear. You don't have to be afraid. Then in verses 2 and 3, God tells Abraham, no, Eliezer will not be your heir. It'll be one born in your house from your loins. It's thy seed. In Genesis chapter 12, in verse 7, it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So God was telling him that it would be his seed that would inherit the land, or this land. In chapter 13, verses 15 through 16, it says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall my seed also be numbered. God already told him that his seed would be as the dust of the earth. That wasn't just some way to explain that you can't count it. That, he wasn't trying to say, Abraham, your descendants are going to be so many, it's going to be like dust. He was saying this for a specific reason. And we will see that as we move along. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18, it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. It's interesting the use of the word river, or the Hebrew word for the word river, means a great river, a big river. It's different from the word river found in Joshua 15, verse 4, where it says, from thence it passed toward Asmon and went out unto the river of Egypt, and the going out of the coast, of that coast, were at the sea. This shall be your south coast. In other words, he was saying that the southern border of the land flowing with milk and honey will be the Wadi of Egypt. This word river in Joshua 15:4 is not the same word river as found in Genesis 15. This river was a river that was dry part of the year, and when it rained, it filled up. So the point I'm trying to get across is this. In your notes, you have a map showing the land that God promised to Abraham in Genesis 15. He says, I will give you the land, or this land, from the river of Egypt. What is the river of Egypt? What is the word river of Egypt and the river Euphrates are the same words. What is the river of Egypt? It's the Nile River. God says, I'm going to give you from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates. You know what that includes? That includes Syria. That includes the Arabian Peninsula, the Sinai Peninsula, that includes Iraq. That all belongs to Abraham's seed. That is a vast area compared to the little area that God gave to the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Now, this is a bit of a history lesson this morning, but it's significant because we are interested in an inheritance ourselves. We want a better inheritance, don't we? It's not a very good feeling to be left out of one's inheritance, but that can happen, and it does happen a lot. And what I'm interested in helping us to do is to have as good of inheritance as we can have in the family of God. And I want you to see that there are two inheritances, and one is better than the other. Okay? Now, in Genesis 15:4, the word of the Lord came unto Abram again, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." In Genesis 15 and verse 5, it tells us that he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17, he says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What this is telling us in type and in picture is this. Abraham had two seeds. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 and following, we see the allegory between Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was the son of Abraham. Isaac was the son of Abraham. The two sons represent two different inheritances. Ishmael represents the inheritance that one would receive under the covenant at Mount Sinai, which is the law, which speaks of the Jerusalem that now is, or in that day, which was in the land of Palestine, an earthly city. But Isaac's inheritance would speak of the heavenly city whose builder and maker is God, and that was the city that Abraham was looking for. He wasn't looking for Jerusalem up close to the Jordan River. He was looking for a heavenly city, a heavenly inheritance. Why? It's a better inheritance. "I have not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for them that love Him." We have no concept. We cannot imagine what heaven is like. I don't think we can comprehend what that city even looks like. So God is saying to Abraham, your seed will be as the dust of the earth, or as the sand of the seashore, and your seed will be as the stars of heaven. You'll have two seeds, and one of them will be a heavenly seed and another one will be an earthly seed. Now, I gave you those two maps to show you the distinction in type and in picture in the Old Testament where the earthly seed will be and where the heavenly seed will be. The heavenly seed will be from the Jordan River westward, from the River of Egypt or the Wadi of Egypt in the south to the Euphrates River in the north. And Moses called it a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. That is the better place to stay. To the east of the Jordan River was a wilderness. Out there were serpents, scorpions, drought. You know, the only place that I know of that can make a desert look nice is a golf course in Arizona. But I'll tell you one thing, they sure do have to use a lot of water to get it to look green. And it only looks green in certain areas. But who wants to live in a dusty, dirty, windy place where nothing grows? I'd rather have a heavenly inheritance. I mean, an inheritance in a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything east of the Jordan River is wilderness. In Deuteronomy 27, in verse 7, "And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The land that they were to possess was on the other side of Jordan. They were on the east side of the Jordan River, and they were going to cross over into the land that the Lord was giving them. That's a significant statement. In Numbers 32 and verse 19 it says, "For we will not inherit with them on yonder side, Jordan, or forward, because our inheritance is fallen on this side of Jordan, eastward." Who said that? Well, Reuben said that. Gad said that. And half the tribe of Manasseh said that. So two of the 12 tribes were not going to have an inheritance in the land flowing with milk and honey, and half of one tribe, the half the tribe of Manasseh, where was their inheritance going to be? In the wilderness. It's interesting to note that Gad and Reuben chose that land under Moses. Moses was in charge when they got that land, and so was half the tribe of Manasseh. Now, why did Gad and Reuben want that land? They saw that it was a land good for cattle. Do you know anybody else, or have we studied anyone else that saw something that looked good? Lot. Lot made a bad choice. Reuben and Gad made a bad choice in relationship to the land flowing with milk and honey. I would say, there's no scripture that tells me that Manasseh made any choices. That choice was made for him by God. But it was made for a particular reason, and we will get to that in another day. So, Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh were in a terrible wilderness, Deuteronomy 8:15, where fiery serpents and scorpions and drought and where no water was, referred to as a desert land in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10, in the waste howling wilderness. Anyway, they saw it, they liked it, and they chose it. And in Joshua chapter 1 in verse 14 and 15, it says, "Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, and then ye shall return unto the land for your possession to enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising." You see how emphatic and how precise and how he emphasized, you got this under Moses. You know what that means? You got this under the law. There was no faith in the law. Did you know that? There is no faith in the law. In fact, when you read in Hebrews chapter 11, when The children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea. That was an act of faith. Did you know that there was no faith involved until they took Jericho? There's not one recorded incident of faith from the Red Sea until they got into the land. And this was where they got the law. The law will give you the inheritance of sand. Faith will give you the inheritance of the stars. Did you know that angels are referred to as stars? Angels have their abode in the heavenlies. And those of us who are stars and are willing to go in and fight for the land and live by faith and please God, we are going to have a better inheritance. Now, Ishmael was one of Abraham's sons, and Isaac was another. You know what the comparison is between the inheritance of Ishmael and the inheritance of Isaac is? It's interesting. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 18-19, it says, "And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before me. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Genesis 17:21 tells us, "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year." Emphatically, that it was going to be Isaac. Now in Genesis chapter 21, verse 12 through 14, it says, "And God said to Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad." Now the lad they're talking about here is Ishmael. Now don't be upset because Ishmael is leaving. "Because of thy bondwoman, and because of thy bondwoman," that is Hagar, "in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called." In the words, Sarah said, "Ishmael is mocking my son. Get rid of him. Get him out of the house." And God said, "Do it. You listen to your wife. Get rid of that boy." "And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation." In other words, he hadn't forgotten Ishmael. He made a great nation out of Ishmael. In fact, there were 12 tribes of Ishmael, just like there are 12 tribes in the nation of Israel. But anyway, because he says, "I will make a great nation of him because he is thy seed." "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness in Beersheba." That's to the south. Now you know what Ishmael's inheritance was? A bottle of water and a loaf of bread. Can you imagine coming away from the judgment seat of Christ with a bottle of water and a loaf of bread? That's what it's going to feel like. When you see in Genesis chapter 24, verse 53, when Isaac was getting a bride, what did Eliezer take with him? He took with him all that his master had. And what did he give to Rebekah? Jewels of gold, jewels of silver, and raiment. Now you tell me, what would you rather have? Jewels of gold and jewels of silver and beautiful garments, or a loaf of bread and a bottle of water? That is the difference between an inheritance of a child of God who will serve Him and honor Him and glorify Him by trusting Him. Now, if you want to live by sight, You can expect a bottle of water and a loaf of bread. I think there were probably more than one loaf, okay? And it was a big bottle of water. But you know what? You know what? They ran out of water and the Lord intervened. But let me tell you what happened. Let me just throw this in. You know what happened? They gave up. She put the lad over under a tree and she went out and sat over on another tree to get out of the sun and try to get cool. And the lad was crying and she was discouraged. And the Lord came and says, "Hey, what's wrong, guys?" And he says, "We're thirsty. The water's run out." And the Lord showed her a well. And you know what? She took the bottle that Abraham gave her and went to that well and got themselves water. Abraham was still being a blessing to Ishmael because it was in the bottle that Abraham gave to Hagar that they got the water out of that well. So truly, the Lord is blessing those of all nations through the Jews. But anyway, the point that I want you to get is this. Abraham had two seeds. He had an earthly seed and a heavenly seed. When Abraham went out to look into the heavens and God showed him the stars, we think that Abraham couldn't count the stars. There's a lot of them up there. But you know, we have star charts today that have all the stars numbered and named, don't we? This is something interesting. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 12. Hebrews 11 and verse 12. "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." Now I want you to hold your place there, or you don't have to, but hold your place there and look in Acts chapter 28 and in verse 3. 28:3. "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand." Now, what is the relationship between that verse and the verse we just got through reading? Well, it's interesting. The word multitude is related to the stars, and the innumerable is related to the sand. And the word multitude is used in Acts 28:3. And the word that is translated from the Greek word multitude is the word bundle. And Paul gathered a multitude of sticks. Does that mean he gathered more sticks than he could count? No. Many are called, but few chosen. You see the relationship? Many are called unto His kingdom and glory, but only a few are elect. But the vast majority, which is the sand, is innumerable. Remember that the children of Israel were numbered many times in the Old Testament. So they were counted. But all of these other seed is innumerable. Can't count them. And they don't even try. Ishmael's descendants are never counted. And they just cover the land like grass, like sand. They cover the land like sand. May the Lord help us to choose to please Him and to trust Him. And hopefully as we continue our study of the life of Abraham, we will see these things develop. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. How refreshing it is to enjoy the morsels of meat that You provide. And we pray, Lord, that You would bless the study of Your Word to each of our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, to gain a perspective of the blessings You have for those who will produce the fruits thereof, who will trust you, who will walk by faith and not by sight, who will not grow weary in well-doing, who will be steadfast in the battle as we fight our enemies. So Lord, we just thank you again for this opportunity you've given us to study your word. These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.